Like a lot of folks, I was quite interested to hear the president's first State of the Union. Not, though, to listen to the usual laundry list of suggested policies that have historically filled such addresses under other presidents. No, far more than many appreciated, this week's State of the Union was unique in modern American history. The first State of the Union given by a leader constitutionally elevated to the Oval Office after having been dramatically rejected by the American people. Now, quite obviously, the same sort of 18th century constitutional malpractice elevated George W. Bush to the presidency in 2000. But in Bush's case, long before that first State of the Union, the horror of 9/11 had forced a national unifying experience that had seen even his defeated foe, Al Gore, dramatically declaring that George W. Bush was his president. But that was then, and this is now. And for Donald Trump, no such unexpected and deeply tragic event has helped heal the wounds of the undemocratic nature of his ascent to power. While the man himself has done almost nothing beyond catering to his influential yet small political base, from throwing red meat to those of his followers obsessed with the politics of identity and guns, to manipulating his Middle Eastern policies to cater to evangelical Christian Zionists obsessed with promoting the second coming of Christ, from delivering massive tax cuts and regulation rollbacks for his corporate donors to protecting his Moscow buddies from the consequences of interfering in our elections. All policies helpful in protecting this president's base, but irrelevant to any effort to project himself as the true leader of these increasingly disunited states. Indeed, this president seems deeply intent on delegitimizing core elements of American political culture that have historically kept the presidency from becoming too autocratic, from his efforts to delegitimize the free press to undermining the independence of the FBI. And then came the moment for this first State of the Union address, that mandated report that offered this president the opportunity to make a statement, not about the Dreamers or the wall, not about the climate crisis or North Korea, but whether he has any intention, any sincere interest in serving not as a leader of a faction, but as the president of these United States. And sadly, despite a temporary effort to control both his language and proclivity to assume the posture of a bully, carefully working his way through a prepared script, notable only for the pedestrian nature of its creation, nothing of his core posture changed, an evening spent feeding his base with cliches and absurdities about everything from immigrants to his oxymoronic reference to clean coal. Making much, of course, of his so-called proudest accomplishment, our currently strong stock market. And yes, indeed, it's great that the stock market has continued its impressive recovery since 2008's collapse. But the fact of the matter is, if one dramatically cuts corporate taxes and reduces regulations, corporate stocks by definition will appear a better investment. The question is, can we dramatically cut corporate taxes while protecting the air we breathe and paying off our horrendous national debt? Can we dramatically reduce government revenues while keeping highways and overpasses from falling apart and the social safety net in place? Can we slash taxes while still having enough revenue to support the very schools and colleges that make it possible for people to gain the education they need for a successful life, without taking out financial debts that negate any gains made? All issues this administration seems to have no interest in. In short, the stock market's current growth is largely a hollow accomplishment as far as the needs of the American people go. No, indeed, given this week's performance, there is little to conclude save that the only address this especially narcissistic individual was genuinely interested in giving was not the State of the Union, but a boastful talk on the state of Trump.